I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm so hot. You keep making me blush. It's just like...
I had to turn my fan on. I've got the fucking hangover sweats.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. In this week's episode, we are going to be looking at The Secret 2, Staying Productive in Lockdown, which I found pretty tricky. So I don't know about you, but some days I am super motivated, super productive. I want to reorganise something. I want to build something. I want to bake something. I don't know. I just feel like I've got all of this untapped energy and I want to use it all at once. But then other days I have zero motivation to do absolutely anything. And even things I know I should be doing, I just can't seem to get up off the sofa and do them. And I'm having probably more of the latter at the moment. And you'd think by this point I would have sorted myself out and found some sort of nice routine, but no, doesn't seem to be happening. So a little bit later, we're going to be welcoming the lovely Olivia Bowen. I think she's Olivia Bowen now. She used to be Olivia Buckland from Love Island, who doesn't seem to be having a problem with staying productive. In fact, quite the opposite. I feel like I look at her Instagram and I'm fucking knackered. I feel like she needs a break. So yeah, she's going to be telling us how she manages to stay motivated in lockdown, as well as just a lovely little catch up. So keeping with the theme, I thought I'd talk to you about what I've been up to this week. It was, in fact, my last ever week of packaging those care package parcels, the isolation ones I do for the elderly. Oh, and it was so bittersweet. Like, obviously, it was so lovely to celebrate, like, the lovely work we've done for everybody, sense of pride, a sense of achievement. We sent out over 7,000 boxes over the course of lockdown, the elderly people, the vulnerable people, to a soup kitchen, to a high school that was in need. So yeah, we've done some great stuff. But at the same time, I kind of felt like I wasn't ready to properly say goodbye. I don't know when I would have ever been ready to properly say goodbye, I suppose. I think I'm a little bit addicted to helping people. So yeah, it was a tough one. Things came to a natural end, I suppose. So that was a pretty big part of my week. What else? Oh my God, I managed to see me mum. So I got a little bit of stick on social media for going up and seeing my mum and my sister and my brand new niece, who I'd literally only met once before lockdown, baby Maeve. But yeah, it was so wonderful and honestly so necessary for my mental health. And I'm sorry if anybody feels like I sound like I'm being dramatic, but I'm not. It had been like 4 months and I know everyone can relate and I know everyone gets where I'm coming from. It was just getting so hard. And with everything starting to loosen slightly and a sense of normality coming back, it felt like the right time and it was just so wonderful. We observed all correct social distancing restrictions and rules and guidelines, but it was just lovely to be in the same city as them, for God's sake. I really have missed them. I cried loads. I'm such a fanny. Rather embarrassingly to admit, I decided to have quite a good drink at the weekend, which I know what you're all thinking, God, you know, but yeah, it was a good drink, put it that way. I think it was just an amalgamation of stuff. Like, obviously the isolation care package project is over, I was on a bit of a high after seeing my family, I don't know, it was just a couple of things. Anyway, I drank far too much. And now, sort of 3 days after, I still have a hangover. A raging fucking hangover. And I just wondered if I am the only one in her mid-30s, well, early 30s, let's be fair, who just can't handle it anymore. I used to be able, when I was at uni, to like go out 4 or 5 nights a week, still get up for my lectures the next day, be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. It would only take a bacon sandwich for us to be firing on all cylinders again. And I'd be ready to go out again that night. But now that I'm in my 30s, no. Your average night on the lash takes us longer to recover from than having my minor surgery. I have zero motivation. I've ate every carb in Essex. And I cry at the drop of a hat, and my body feels like I've been hit by a car. Yeah. I hate being 30. Come on, everyone else must feel like this too. I can't be the only one. Or am I the only one? And am I just a really big whinge? Right, without further ado then, now that I've finished whinging, it is time to welcome the wonderful Olivia Bowen to my podcast. So Olivia, for those of you who have been living under a rock, is probably one of the most successful people ever to come out of Love Island. She is a super great influencer. She's married, of course, to Alex Bowen, who she met on Love Island, which I don't know if that does make them the most successful couple to come out of there. But they're definitely up there anyway. She is an ambassador for all sorts of amazing brands. She's a TV presenter. She's just an all-round really great egg. So, let's get her on.
Well, hello and welcome, Olivia, to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, when you text me to ask, I was like, I got really excited. I felt really special. Felt like a VIP.
Honestly, like, it was just a total no-brainer. You're so lovely. You're so chatty. You're one of my favourite women in the industry.
Oh, Vic, don't get me crying live on air. Thank you, babe. No, straight back at you.
Thank you very much. Well, before we go any further, I think it's only fair that I congratulate you on your new show.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't believe I could finally say, honestly, I've been hiding it for about a year. And obviously Second Chance Dresses was 2 years ago now. So
right.
I was waiting and waiting. Like, we've got to announce it. People think I've flunked. People think I've not got a second series. So, yeah, I was just so buzzing. And the fact it's in New York is, yeah, crazy. So thank
you.
So
for everyone who might not have caught series one, tell us a little bit about Second Chance Dresses.
So Second Chance Dresses is basically all about finding your perfect wedding dress. But as the name kind of indicates, it's for secondhand dresses. Mm-hmm. So obviously wedding dresses are so mega expensive, and sometimes you want a designer that you can't afford necessarily first hand.
Yep.
So yeah, it's just all about finding the perfect dress, but for a much better price. We have like three brides, three sellers. And yeah, they just try and get a bargain for their perfect dress. It's just such a lovely, sweet, fun program. And I'm so excited that we've now got a boutique in New York and we're going to be dealing with US brides, expat British brides. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's such a lovely concept though. Like, I just think weddings, like people finding their happily ever after, all that sort of stuff is super feel good. But with the added extra factor, it's just lush.
Yeah, do you know what? It's so nice because I think people are always, you always worry about finding your wedding dress because it's that big thing. Even when I was trying to find mine, I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to judge my dress. Like, that's like one of the main things. So to be part of someone's journey on finding their perfect wedding dress, and oh my God, some of the stories we had last time, like heart-wrenching, like just awful. And some were really awkward where like they'd broken up with their husband, now they got to get the dress sold, or they never got married. So there's sometimes like dodgy stories behind them. Yeah. And I don't know if you sort of believe in like fate and things like that, but so I thought some of the dresses had omens because if they never got married, I was like, if you try that dress on and you like it, what if it's an omen? It's a bad omen. And then that put people off. So yeah, I'm like making them feel worse.
Oh, bless you. I mean, I do think you're the perfect host for this show. Your wedding a couple of years ago, mate, was nothing short of unbelievable.
How much fun, honestly. Like, it seems so weird that I was married nearly 2 years ago now.
But do you feel old enough to be married, Liv?
No. I don't think Alex is old enough to be married because he acts like a, you know him, he acts like a full-on child, and he won't mind me saying. Even yesterday we was arguing about him gaming so much. I was like, you're on it for 4 hours a day. You're a kid. Like, but no, it is weird. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, do you feel too young to be married? But then what is the right age to do anything? Do you know what I mean? Nah,
like, exactly.
In the sense that I'm married and yeah, I could be too young, then I don't want people to think, oh, I'm too old to be married. Like, I don't want that.
No, I know. I think, like, and I'm a proper firm believer, like, I'm a big advocate for this and I say it all the time, like, you've just got to trust in your own journey and have, like, some faith. And I don't think there is a right time or a wrong time to do anything anymore. And I do get that the societal pressure and everything. But as long as you're staying true to yourself and doing what feels right for you, then honestly, I just feel like fuck everything else.
Well, exactly. Because I feel I 100% agree with you, especially like, well, we're very much on Instagram all the time and you see people doing certain things at certain ages. And I think that's where the pressure comes from. But I never had the pressure to get married. I was the opposite. I didn't want to. I didn't want to get married at all.
Really? Was he the one putting the pressure on?
Well, it wasn't necessarily that. It was just when I was in Love Island, I remember there was a clip and I was like, I just don't want to get married. It's just not something. I don't know whether that was because, like, my parents didn't, like, their marriage didn't work out. So maybe you sort of stem from that. But I just was never bothered. I was never one of them girls that dreamt about their dream venue or their dream wedding dress. I just didn't want it. But when, obviously, I think until you find the right person, then you start to feel that way. So I think he was the reason. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it makes sense. Like, I think you emulate the love you've seen at home. And if that didn't work out for your mum and dad, you're understandably going to be hesitant. But Alex just was the one for you and everything fell into place.
I think it's so true. Like, you just kind of, you have to like write your own story, don't you? And I so love that we're able to do that and show that on Instagram as well. Because like I said, so much pressure to get a house or the right job. And like, I have friends that aren't married, I have friends that don't have babies, and I think it's so nice to have them people around you to ground you.
Oh yeah, we will talk about babies in the future, because I feel like this is something you're going to have a lot to say on.
I just widened my eyes, no one can see that, my eyes just we definitely need to touch on that.
But I just wanted, like, it doesn't feel as though you and Alex had the smoothest ride. Like, obviously now you're couple goals, you're two of my, like, you're one of my favorite couples, you're arguably the most successful couple to come out of Love Island, both professionally and in a personal sense. But it wasn't always plain sailing, was it?
It wasn't. I don't think any relationship starts like, do you know what, it is funny like when you say that, because obviously Love Island, we had a bit of a bumpy ride, if to say the least. No innuendos meant by that either. But I suppose I just don't think any relationship starts like a fairy tale. I don't know whether that's just me in my life.
Nah, I agree, mate. And I don't think any relationship is completely plain sailing either. I mean, I've had my fair share of fucking unsuccessful relationships.
We shall not name them.
Let's just put it like that way. But like, understandably, when I met Erkan, I was just super hesitant, and it wasn't the most. I think romantic of starts, mine and Erkan's. But if we look where we are now, like, I really don't think it matters. It's obviously, I just think every relationship's different, and it doesn't have to be smooth sailing and romance from the very start and rose petals everywhere for it to be a really healthy, successful relationship.
Exactly. And I love the fact that you and Erkan together, you two are so cute. I can't.
He's so nice. I just had to jump off, but before me and Olivia started this podcast, they were getting all the technical side sorted, and I just had to run off because Erkan had no towel in the bathroom, so I've been running around trying to find him a towel.
He would have been the star of the show on our Zoom call if they come out and found a towel.
Just his little arse in the background of our Zoom. So yeah, please, that could help him out there. So go on. When you and Alex have been together for about, is it 3 years now? God, is it more?
4 years now.
Congratulations, mate.
What the hell? I never thought that would happen to me. I think the reason why our journey in Love Island was so bumpy at the start, you know, a lot of people remind me of that on a daily basis. But no, do you know what? Like, I think a lot of people are confused because obviously it's a reality show and you don't see everything. No. So at the start, a lot of people don't realise me and Alex were trying to stay friends because we were very similar. We both went out a lot. We both, you know, we weren't angels before we went into Love Island, and we were both like that. So it was kind of like trying to understand that we actually really liked each other, but we didn't want anything to happen because we'd been so used to being in off the cuff relationships that weren't really relationships. So that was kind of why it started how it did in Love Island, because neither of us wanted to commit. We just kind of wanted to be like, oh, it's friends with benefits. We're just, you know, chilling. It's just a reality show. And more so every day, we started to scare ourselves because we realised how much we liked each other. And then it hit me before it hit him that I was like, I'm going to be in love with this guy. He's going to,
Oh, God. How scary was that realisation? Were you petrified when you felt that?
Honestly, I've got a dry mouth now. I just think, like, I've been treated so crap in the past by an ex who was just an absolute arsehole, like, horrible, horrible person. So trying to trust someone, like, after that.
It's difficult,
so hard.
Right?
It's so hard. So you just constantly think the same thing's going to happen again. And for a while, I used to tarnish Alex with the same brush and think that he'd do the same thing to me, whereas he's not got that bone in his body. So yeah, it was a struggle at first, but then I think in Love Island, when there was a guy called Adam come in that asked to go on a date with me, and that's when he realized that he liked me, because he got so jealous and fuming.
Yes.
And then from that point, we were like, okay, this is a bit more than friends with benefits.
I think because obviously I was watching that series, like, I think that was the series. So much, Liv. Like, that's, and I don't want to sound like a fangirl here, but there's literally no shame in my game. Yours was my favourite series. Like, obviously, Alex was in, Scotty was in. So I had, like, a couple of my pals went in. Like, and you were so relatable. You were such a girl's girl. I loved Malin as well. And there was just so much drama. But yeah, like, I could see yous were fighting against it. And yous were trying to be too cool for school. And just, you could obviously see you'd been hurt before. And you were just trying to keep them a little bit at arm's length. But you just, you almost could tell the moment everything changed, and it was lovely to see. And I think out of anyone on that show, you two deserve this little happy ending you've got, because it wasn't easy for you.
Thank you, babe. Yeah, it wasn't. And do you know what? It's not even just the relationship side of Love Island that was hard. It was like being in there as your sole person and having to just reconnect with actually who you were, because you didn't have anything else. You don't have your phone, you don't have your family, your friends, you don't have anything to distract your attention from who you are as a person and how you connect and react to situations. Before I went in, I was so, like, I had no patience. I could be quite nasty. And I read a book. I tell everyone, I read a book. I have to find out the name of it. And it just, the Chimp Paradox. Chimp Paradox, it was called.
No!
Oh my God, what the hell?
For everyone who obviously is listening to this podcast and not privy to our Zoom call, I'm showing Liv a copy of the book. I'm reading it at the moment.
What? That is really, really weird.
So freaky. Face,
oh,
Liv.
Oh, that's really, that goosebumps. I love things like that. But yeah, oh my God, you're going to love that so much, because that is the book that changed my outlook and on how to deal with situations and how to control certain sides of my personality that weren't so favourable. And then it changed the way that I acted in Love Island. And then look what happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, the nation fell in love with you, Liv.
Oh, no. I'll cringe.
No, we did, though. You were super. You were cute as a bunny in a bow tie.
Oh, stop it. You. I'm blushing.
No, you deserve it, but I will stop. I will stop. I know it can be embarrassing. I think reality TV is a really hard medium. Unless you've been through it, it's dead hard to explain. It's
Like for me, I had some of the best moments of my life have came from reality TV, things like The Jungle, my experience with MasterChef. But then there's been some really low moments for me. Like I completely struggled with my journey on Geordie Shore, and it showed me some of the worst traits I had, and allowed me to see myself, like to see some of the things I really didn't like about myself as well, amplified. Did you find that with Love Island?
I don't know. It's a hard one. I watched, like you watched Love Island, I watched Geordie Shore, and I remember like watching and can see, I could see. I think I've always been like an empathetic person. I could see how you were, and I can see how different you are now. And it's actually so nice. I know it's hard to have that like past behind you, but it's so nice to see how you've grown as a person.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to remember for each other, that we're meant to grow, we're meant to change. And we were all, you know, 20 once, we were all 18 once. We all had moments that we're not particularly proud of. I think with Love Island, I'm kind of proud of the person that I was. There's some things that maybe I wouldn't do now that I'm 26. More the physical side of things.
We've all been there, Liv. We've all been there.
Do you know what? I'm the kind of person that doesn't really regret much, just because I believe in the butterfly effect 100%. That's how I live my life, like in line with the butterfly effect. I just feel like if I had done anything different, if I had said anything different, although it may not be where right at the time. Now. Yeah, it got me where I am. So I can't regret anything I did, but I'm not the 21-year-old anymore. I'm the 26 and 27-year-old that's been through more. And
was that how old you were in Love Island, Liv? Were you 21?
Yeah, 21 or 22. Yeah, I was a baby.
so weird. Same age as me when I was in Geordie Shore.
Oh, really? See, that's the thing. That's what reality TV is about, that, and it's grasping and it's escapism and it's about how you are at that age. And I'm probably not as interesting now at 27 as I was at 21 in a different way. Like I'm now into sofas and kitchen tiles.
So am I. I'm absolutely obsessed with house porn. That is literally
God, that is so beautiful as well. The apartment that you're in now. Oh my God.
Thanks, Liv. I'm going to talk to you all about your house as well, because you're doing such a lovely job on that. But yeah, I think that's the thing with reality TV, and it sort of catches you, and for most people at that age where you are sort of a little bit wild and you are finding yourself and you are doing that like self-exploration. So you probably wouldn't do the things that you do when you're 26 or when you're 30 or whatever. Yeah. And I think the people who put were in reality TV shows know that as well.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It's fun to watch. I still watch Love Island. I love it. I adore it. And I, like I said, I watched Geordie Shore. I was a sucker for all programs like that. And it's fun to watch. But I think it's hard for the person when they get older and see themselves act like that. Most people delete their pictures after a night out. We can't necessarily like go and erase what happened.
I know what you mean. I think everyone always goes to me, like whenever I do a live, there's always someone who goes, why don't you go back on Geordie Shore? We miss you. And I think, because I'm fucking 32, hun. I'm 32. I had a drink on Friday night, right? It's what, Tuesday now? I still feel like a bag of shit. Still just want to eat everything. Age, Liv. Weirdly, get my age.
You know what? I was like, when I was like 22, I was like, that's never going to be me. Like, I'm never going to be one of the people that has hangovers. And now I'm looking back at her like, what a twat. What a twat.
Yeah, I've shown you.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, I think I've probably thought exactly the same thing. It's just that real kind of like ignorant confidence you have as like an early like someone in the early 20s. But yeah, I'm absolutely the person that I promised myself I would never be. Like I get excited when I get to open a new sponge, like, you know, a scourer. Like, honestly, I get my jollies when, you know, your scourer's getting low and you're like, fuck it, I'm doing it, I'm having a new one, I'm going to open it, and you get it out and it's just so clean and spongy and
do you know what,
that's how I get my kicks.
I feel that in my soul.
Yes.
We are so not cool anymore.
No, I'm not cool. And as well, I'm one of those people who's like, when you have people around and they're sitting on my sofa, I'm just looking at them like, oh, please don't spill anything. Like, I'm just staring at them with their corks, like, really? Would you not rather be more comfortable with a lemonade?
I love it. I love
it. Snuck up on
I
with.
Think it's so nice. I just, like, I used to look at my mum and be like, am I going to be like that? I can't believe it because I'm at 18 sitting here. Like, and then you look at your mum and you're like, I'm turning into her. Like, I'm my
110%. Oh, 110%. Do you ever catch yourself saying something and you think, that's me, mum? My mum, yeah, whenever she gets
pissed.
And people
tell you that. They're like, yeah, you are your mum. You look like your mum. You sound like your mum.
Whenever my mum has a drink, Liv, right, and we, my sister, used to take the mick out of her for years because of this, but she'd just go, no matter what you said, she'd go, "Ee, I know, scary." That was what she'd say. That was the answer to everything. Yeah, that was the thing. And I caught myself saying it on Friday night, and honestly, my face just fell. I was like, I am my fucking mother.
That is so cute, though. See, I scary. Love that. I think it's such a nice little thing for your mum to see as well. Like, yeah, that's my daughter.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I quite like getting older. Do you feel better now you're older? I do.
So for me, it's been bittersweet. I think a couple of years ago when I was getting older, and actually I was like 31. So I think 30 is fine because it's exciting and it's a big number and you have a big birthday and all the rest of it. But turning 31, I was in like not in the place where I thought I was going to be, Liv. Of course, I was single. I'd had like loads of personal upheaval and I was a bit scared. I didn't think I was sort of in the phase in my life that I felt I should be. But now, coming up to 33, and I've got a lovely boyfriend, a lovely house, I like my job, I've got great family and friends. Now I feel like I'm slightly better about getting older. Yeah. And I don't think it's so much an age thing. I think it's where you're at. I think that's what affects you more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Well, it links back to what we said about like being a certain age when you do certain things. Yeah. And even for you, who, like, the amount you accomplished before you're 30 is absolutely insane. And you're still sitting there like, I wasn't at a point that I wanted to be. And it's the society pressures that you get, the marriage, the kids, all of that jazz that you felt you didn't have at that point. But you didn't need to feel that. But I completely get why you do. But it's so nice, like I said, now to see you at 30. Are you 32? 33?
32, but I'm thinking I'm going to stay 32 this year because I just don't,
yeah, I feel I like agree.
I'm not accepting this as a proper year. No way am I going to be 33. So I think I'm just going to be 32
feel like
again.
We've missed out a whole year. It doesn't count. Stay 32. I agree.
That's it.
I'll let you have it.
Thanks, Liv. So talking about society pressures, I was going to wait till I brought this up, but I did see your last series on TLC, which I loved, by the way. I think you brought up a lot of stuff that a lot of women your age, my age, will be feeling. And it was sort of like the pressure to have kids, right?
Mm.
So you are married Alex for 2 years. He's a proper, healthy, proper, happy relationship. Honestly, guys, if you see them in real life, like, obviously we can tell a little bit from Instagram, right? But I have never seen two people so in love, so in tune with each other and just so fucking right for each other. So you are pretty sickly. And everyone would just assume kids were on the cards, but you're not ready, are you, mate?
I Do you know what? It's been like a long process for me because, again, I wasn't the marriage kids kind of person. So I could, I think it was because of my treacherous relationship I had before that I was just, I didn't want kids. I couldn't see it happening. I didn't believe that I should. And then when I met Alex, it still didn't change and he really wanted a kid. So I think that sort of pushed me away a little bit as well. I'm the kind of person that when someone tells me to do something, I like to do the opposite. so the more stubborn. the more people were like, oh, when are you going to have a kid? The more I wanted to go against it because I felt like I was being pressurized from every angle. I don't know. I don't really know why. It's just not something that felt a necessity to me at that point in my life. Like, again, I was 23, like, as I had come out of Love Island and me and Alex got engaged. So I was very young when people started suggesting to have kids. And, like, I just feel like it's not a necessity for women anymore to get married and have kids. Like, we're not just baby makers. We have careers.
Breeders.
We want to do... Yeah, do you know what I mean? We're not just there for that. And I do think... as the world changed and as religion hasn't become so prominent, I think that whole situation is changing. And I think I was very for that. But having said that, I've become very broody within the last 6 months.
No! What the hell?
I know. And like, it is to do with age. I think I'm just growing up and I'm just becoming in a position in my life where I've done a lot and I've been very happy with where my career's been and where I'm going, that I now feel comfortable with it and I don't feel the pressure from outside.
Yeah. You're just feeling a bit more settled in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, we just come out of a reality show and we're in this fun, new, exciting relationship. And I didn't feel like we needed a third person in our relationship. And I don't know if any other women feel this, but I was like, oh my God, am I going to lose him to having a kid? Like, am I going to become second best? And I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to be second best.
I mean, that's a really hard pill to swallow, like, regardless of what age you're at or what stage in your relationship you're at. I think, speaking of someone who doesn't have kids, I can only comment, like, to a certain extent, but I do feel like, yes, it's a huge amount of pressure and yes, it adds a lot of strain to a relationship, but it changes the dynamic irrevocably forever, and something else does become more important. Like, yes, you're still husband and wife, or yes, you're still partners for life, but that little bundle is what has to be the most important thing. And I do think you have to be ready for that. It's not a decision you should take lightly. So I think fair play to you for resisting the pressure and doing you, but also let's talk more about the fact that you might want one. Get in.
No, I just don't know. Do you know, like you said, I wasn't ready at that point. We was in a fresh relationship and I wanted all the attention. I'm not going to lie about that. I can be an attention seeker. And I like having the full attention from Alex because we are so in love and we were in a fresh relationship. And as you grow and as you get older, that dynamic does naturally change. And now I feel like our dynamic, we're quite happy to have an extra love in there. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird thing.
No, I was going to say, it's just, you've got enough love to give and you're comfortable enough in your relationship. Like, I do think it's nice you have had a bit of time on your own to just, like, explore yourselves and travel and get your house and everything. Like, it's lovely. And I think I don't think you should move too fast.
Yeah. I agree. I think, I know, like, obviously, we always said if it ever happened as an accident, we'd 100%, you know, we love each other, we'd 100% have the child and that would be it. But on the personal side, I wanted to get to where I am and I felt like I couldn't do that with a child. And I know some people do, which I'm in awe of because I honestly don't understand how people have careers and have babies. And I think even though I am becoming broody now, I'm still scared of letting go of my individuality and then having someone else to care for, even though I still want to be selfish for my career and things like that. So it's a bit of a two-minded thing. We definitely do, but I'm still frightened of doing it.
I don't know if you ever stop being frightened, you know, and like, I don't necessarily know if you should, because it's a huge thing. Mm. Like, I think there's, so as a woman, like, I would hate to be defined just by my relationship. Mm. I would hate to everyone to be like, oh yeah, she's so-and-so's wife. Or do you know what I mean? Like, I love being like Vicky Patterson. Like, I love being who I am. And I think what the risk is for someone like me or like you, who has always like strive to be very independent and be successful within our own right, is that we'll just have a baby and all we'll be known as is a mother.
Yeah, I know.
It takes away a lot of, I think, and it can take up so much of your identity if you let it. But there's so many successful women out there who are just doing it all, aren't there?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know what, that's a plus about Instagram that I've kind of loved. I've followed a lot of people recently and seen a lot of mums with their babies, and they're still themselves. And actually, I've seen it most recently in one of my best friends. She had a baby girl a few months ago. And I think seeing my best friend still be the person she was before her daughter has made me realise, you can't be yourself. You don't change. I think that was always an irrational fear. I mean, she's changed, but for the better, but she's still her silly, immature self to us. So, you know what I mean? I thought I'd lose that maybe in having a kid. And she's kind of proved to me that you can be yourself and still have a child. Like, don't be fearful.
Oh God, who would have thought it? Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2, where everybody comes to just reveal all of their big news. Liv, can I be godmother?
Sure.
Yes!
Yes!
No one's ever trusted me before.
I trust you. I feel like we're too similar. Like, it'll be the same. I'm just as bad as you, you're just as bad as me.
Oh, I feel like I might cry. No, I'm not
going to cry. It is weird though. Like, we catch ourselves talking about it, talking about baby names, and yeah. I just want to get. Obviously, I've got this presenting job in New York with Second Chance Dresses, so I need to get that sorted out the way, and we'll see what happens.
That's it, exactly. Just take every day as it comes, mate. But that's just such amazing news. Yeah, you are having despite everything else that's going on, you guys seem to be having a pretty amazing year. Like, just one look at your Instagram, Liv, is enough to make me feel inadequate. How do you do it all? This is what I've been dying to ask you. Like, are you not tired, Liv?
I've got this weird thing. I don't feel like I'm ever doing enough, and I compete against myself constantly. And I can't believe you've said that, because it doesn't recollect with me. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm doing that much. My mum's always said this to me. She's always like, you burn the candle at both ends and you do not stop. But I don't see it. I don't know. I don't.
For anyone who doesn't follow Liv on Instagram, first of all, you should. She's super real, super genuine, very authentic. And it's just like a nice positive page to follow. But basically, like, I had a quick snoop before today's podcast. And you'd like, so she has just recently moved house. They are undertaking a massive, massive renovation of that. She's like an ambassador for a fitness app. She's got a wicked body, healthy relationship, mam to two little fur balls. She's like an influencer. She's got this brand new presenting job. Like, Liv, you are, trust me when I say it, you are doing enough, hun. You're doing enough.
I know. It's like, when you say it like that, it is pretty ridiculous, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm just wired that way. I just like to work hard. But your question, are you tired? Yes. I'm always tired. But you know, it does look that way on Instagram, because I often post and there's doing lots of bits and bobs and styling and things. But I do have days where I do absolutely F all. I just lie in my own shit and don't do anything, and like, there is days like that. I'm not always on the go, but I think I just like being busy. I think it keeps my mind busy, rather than if I'm stagnant and I'm not doing anything, I tend to be more anxious because I tend to have more headspace to think. So I like to fill up my head with everything possible so that I can't think about anything else.
Yeah. No, honestly, that makes perfect sense. And I can really relate, Liv. It's very, like, you could have been me speaking there. I honestly believe the devil makes work for idle hands. And I've said this a couple of times before. And if I allow myself too long to stop, oh my gosh, did you hear my tummy there?
I had no, is that your tummy or your butt?
It was my tummy. It was such a big grumble. I need my breakfast. No, so yeah, so if I am not always trying to progress or keeping myself busy, and I do think then certain dark thoughts and certain like anxieties can creep back in. So I completely understand where you're coming from. And it's good that you do still take time from yourself. I've got a life coach, Liv, right? And he said to me, yeah, I honestly would recommend it to everyone. He's called Bill. We've had him on here. He's the nicest man. Yeah, he recommends, and it sounds to me as though you're doing this without my advice anyway, but certain times you'll have days and they're just number four days. So they're go, go, go. You've got like a photo shoot, you've got filming, and then you've got like an Insta live, and you've got a big event on the night time. It's a 4 day. Loads of pressure, loads of anxiety, loads of stress, really full on. And then you'll have number 3 days, and that'll be slightly less intense, but still busy. And then you'll have number 2 days, which is just maybe a phone interview and a trip to the gym and a spray tan. But then intermixed with all of those days, you absolutely need to have number 1 days. Days where you do just sit and wallow in your own filth and watch Netflix and eat Doritos and don't feel bad about it. Are you having enough number 1 days, Liv?
I absolutely love that analogy. Oh my God, I'm going to use this so much in my life. I don't really have... For me, I feel like when I have a day one, what way around is it?
Day ones.
When I have a day one, I just feel unaccomplished, and I know that people, I know that it's me that has that issue that like I can't stop. But so after I've had one of them days, I end up feeling guilty about it. And I know I really shouldn't, but I know a lot of people feel like that. But it's just something you have to practice and really try and keep doing. Like I just don't feel like our job is hard, but to a lot of people that, you know, do a lot harder jobs, I feel like I don't deserve that because we're so lucky to have what we have and do what we do that, it is that. I'm like, how do I deserve to have a day off when I do styling videos and then there's someone working 15 hour shifts? Like, I think that's what it is. And I know we shouldn't feel like that because our jobs are difficult mentally. But yeah, it just, maybe that's what it is. I'm going to give myself some more day ones. One day.
Absolutely. Yeah, you need to, because it's important, because it'll mean when you do have your day fours that you are working at your best. You can't pour from an empty cup, Liv.
It's so true. I love this. You've given me this new outlook on how I do my week. I'm so having more of those days now. I'm treating myself.
Good for you. Well, I'm having such a lovely time catching up with you, Petal. But I think maybe that's it for part one. And we'll welcome you back in part two.
Amazing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.